let's see, it's 3 o'clock, November 19, and I have with me Miss Judy Christensen, and I will let her tell about herself.
Yeah. Okay. Judy Christensen, 14573 Branham, Branham Lane, San Jose, California, 95124, area code 408-371-3128. And I'm presently on the board of directors for Solano Center for Battered Women and the chairperson for the Northern California Coalition of Women and Substance Abuse. And up until very recently was the substance abuse educator for Solano County. And the reason that I'm here is because of my involvement with the coalition and with the Center for Battered Women. And
well, Ms. Christensen, the conference here is the first in history funded by the government. And I just wondered, I understand why you're here, for Battered Women and for the other organizations you represent or are interested in, but why do you think this conference will be important for women?
Okay.
Or why is the conference important?
Okay, well, I think the conference is important because although there have been kinds of meetings and different interests expressed by government agencies or by different people, this is one time where they did put a considerable amount of money behind it. And also it does have national attention. It has a variety of and diversity of women. And if it can come out with some resolutions that cut across race and age and economic backgrounds, then that would be pretty hard to ignore, because presently I found that although everyone is for women, quite often when it gets down to the specifics, they'll say for a particular issue, well, that is only of concern to a certain group of women, or most women really don't want that, and so things kind of just float away or vague away. And this is in one area where if women can be very specific, and particularly if they do represent the variety of women, where it'd be very hard to vague away.
That's a good comment. Another question we were considering important here in this interviewing process is, what results do you expect from the conference, perhaps in the larger social context? And I think you, in a sense, answered it, that it will call not only attention, but it'll be hard for people to say women don't care about that, or most women don't. Do you feel that, well, what degree is the conference meeting your expectations? Do you think that women are united or feeling a sense of, you think women really, well, is it meeting what you thought it would meet? That's what I'm really after, I think, too.
Yeah, well, I think that one is that, at least in California, we were kind of prepared for the fact that there's going to be a lot of conflict, and had thought that it would be like many of these conferences are, with black women in one room or one area of the room, and Chicanos in another, straights in one, and gays in another, all loudly claiming that they are the ones that are most in need of attention or being neglected, and that kind of thing. And I think that within the morning session that it was dealt with, at least it was discussed and brought out into the open, and I think that that kind of had a an effect, hopefully, of bringing the women together and also creating an arena where these things can be discussed, but without, hopefully, without some of the divisiveness that these conferences can lead to. Because I know in California, within the drug and alcohol field, we have very strong women who are representing specific target groups. And up until fairly recently, many of the conferences were only dealt with the conflict. It didn't get into any kind of resolution, which was very de-energizing. And I think perhaps now women have grown to the point of realizing that it isn't going to get anywhere and are anxious to gather together for some common goals.
What would you do when you go home? Do you think you'll go home feeling renewed in spirit, with more energy rather than de-energized, although we're all tired? What will you do?
Yeah, I think it'll depend on the outcome of the conference. I think there's some slight movement that it will be energizing. If nothing else, I'm meeting some women that I've met from other places, and women even in California that I haven't had a chance to get in contact with. So personally, for me, the conference is nourishing because I'm here for positive reasons and for getting together. And so I don't expect that I'm going to go walk away, you know, more angry, more bitter, or less energized.
And women have not had the opportunities, perhaps, to meet each other, and in large crowds and in large groups.
Yeah.
This seems, a number of people seem to be greeting each other after many years. For instance, 3 years or 2 years. I saw that right as we were standing in the doorway there a while ago. And I do think that you aren't alone in that. What obstacles do you think women have to overcome, maybe in their, not only society, but in their personal lives before we can really make the conference?
Aside from the conference type, I think one of the things that's been a letdown for us in California is the fact that I think that we felt if we could come together or if we could sensitize males that the problems would be over. But I know that we have found most of our problems now are with the sensitive male, and that it's easier to deal with the traditional male, because men who feel they ought to be for women, ought to be for women's rights, get very hurt, very rejected, very wounded personally if you indicate in any way that their behavior is not completely supportive, and they tend to kind of go underground or in sabotaging because they can't deal with it openly. Whereas traditional males, you can just kind of confront with their behaviors, and because they don't feel that it's wrong to be traditional or chauvinistic, they can much easier give up their behaviors. And in fact, my own personal experience is that way. I worked for a male who felt himself to be in the vanguard and very progressive, and in fact pushed me onto the spotlight, whereas I prefer to be a technician. But in areas where his behavior, there were things that he could not face that he had to be blind to, because otherwise it would upset his image of himself.
His self-image as a feminist male. Advocate.
Yeah, exactly. And he ended up screwing the woman in the county, not literally, but messing the woman in our county. And, well, I should tell you that within most of my experience has been a community organization, and one of the things I did was to bring the Drug and Alcohol Advisory Board from an all-male to predominantly a female board. And in the beginning, he was the one that was very supportive of my efforts, but as the woman made demands and wanted to go in directions that he didn't want to go into, he became very difficult to work with. And it was a very hurtful experience because the woman had perceived him as being supportive. And so it led to a lot of confusion in their heads. In the meantime, the men who were on the board to begin with, who were very chauvinistic and almost verbally abusive, came to respect the woman and respect their fighting ability, to respect what they had to say, and now have become the most supportive. So the lines have changed. Well, the battle lines have just reversed themselves.
Couldn't they also their self-image is now hurt in a personal experience. It's a difficult thing, this male.
Yeah.
But this is what you feel generally we should be working on.
Yeah, well, in fact, at one time, one of the men who was the chairperson was so abusive that I had asked him, I told him that I felt abused, and asked him if he would cease and desist. And he came back with, well, sticks and stones may break your bones, but names will never hurt you. And he's about 70 years old. And then he stopped and he said, well, Judy, I didn't really mean that. I, you know, really do care about your feelings. But he has turned. I mean, he still calls us girls and that kind of thing. He has the rhetoric. But before considering any decisions, he will ask for the girls' opinions and respect what we have to say and go along with it.
This
and
is most
really support it.
It's the sensitive.
And the sensitive male cannot, anytime we disagree with him, then he gets very wounded and withdrawn. And when he's confronted with chauvinist behavior, he declares that he's being attacked unfairly. And he can't see that behavior in his male staff either. He claims that they're very open and very aware, even though he's getting all kinds of feedback from women that they're not. But he's strongly feminist, yeah.
I'm glad you brought that out. It's something I haven't thought about. I'm glad you brought that out. I think our historian on this project would be most interesting.
Yeah, and in fact, it's kind of interesting, too, because he's living with a woman, and again, she is feminist, but he's guiding her career.
Even more so.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask this of you.
There's the rhetoric and then there's the behavior.
The rhetoric and the behavior. This is worth pursuing
right.
Sometimes. Yes, it's something to think about. One other thing, I wonder, you say you have worked with community organizations.
Yeah.
Evidently, you've been a very active person in the community, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But have you always been aware of women's issues?
No.
Or did you have a personal...
No, not really. Well, I started out working to put my husband through school, which is very traditional, and had a traditional marriage and got into community organization because I worked in low-income areas and in order to get services. And the NOW organization, San Jose, was basically professional women and college students, and they wanted to get community women involved. And so the president asked a male friend of hers if he knew any community women, because he was working in a social agency. And so he asked me if I would go down to the meeting and then get community and minority women involved with NOW. And so that's when I started to get involved with the women's issues. I went down and was impressed with the way that organized, with that particular chapter and with that particular woman. And so then I attempted to feed in some minority women that I work with. And it was very interesting because there was not much interest at that time. That was in the early 70s for minority women into this kind of organization, and they saw it as a white woman's organization. There was a lot of negative feeling toward professional women to begin with, a lot of feeling of not belonging, and so one of the reasons, I guess, why I'm optimistic, because if to bring all those, that kind of women together where they really felt bonds, and not just goal bonds, but really friendships came out of it. Although I remember one time I went to one weekend conference and it ended up, went up with four Chicanas. Two who went because I was going, and I convinced their husbands that they would be safe for the weekend. But when we walked in, the conference leaders wanted to know what our sleeping arrangements were going to be. And we said, well, we'll all stay together if we can. And that kind of brought about some flinched look.
organized the conference were pro-feminist and also all for racial equality. And when we ate together, there were some surprised looks. And then interestingly, through the weekend, when we would gather together, it was divided on very racial lines. All the blacks wanted to get together, the Chicanos wanted to get together, and the Anglos all felt very hurt that the Chicanos wanted to get together and the blacks wanted to get together, and then there was me who was rooming with the Chicanos. So, and then the out of that conference, we met together weekly for about 8 weeks, and a very interesting experience.
And then this led you more or less to activism
with women, yeah. And then within the drug and alcohol field, I'd done counseling and done counseling within the drug and or with women alcoholics, and the treatment services were non-existent. And then those that did exist were, to put it very mildly, sexist. Not only did they promote the traditional values, but in many sense, very put women down very openly.
You feel women alcoholics not really have
yeah, and women drug yeah oh yeah, they do, and women drug addicts even more so.
The counseling.
Oh yeah, right. Well, in one residential program, for example, where you know sex between the clients was forbidden, the punishment was that the male would be dressed as a stud, which really was hurt his male ego. I mean, that's just terrible when for a male to be considered a stud. And the woman had to dress as a whore, which is a put-down. So in a sense, the male was given a lot of stroking and reinforcing, because I've never yet seen a man who's objected to being thought of as virile and a stud. But most women don't want to be whores or be considered whores. But that was the punishment. And so I think that kind of is an example that reflects,
a beautiful example of that. I have several questions
okay.
here in my mind. The obstacles to what we want, I don't remember, we didn't go through that, did we? The obstacles to what women possibly will seek. You see, this conference is supposed to direct or recommend for a 10-year period.
Yeah.
And we're looking at the now, and within the many changes have happened since the early 70s. Do you see some specific obstacles other than, well, what specific obstacles do you see right now?
Okay, just within the conference and
or maybe in the immediate future you want to go, and then they might even want to go beyond that.
Yeah, okay. Well, one is that I think that on several accounts, things are moving backward. Not only is there a backlash, which I think everyone expected, because that's normal, any two steps forward and three back, because change is very threatening. So there's that on the, you know, the philosophical level. But also monies are getting less, and there's less and less money. And consequently, as women are coming into their own, there's less to spend. Unemployment is high, so that the opportunities for anybody is less than what it was before. And therefore, women will be shortchanged. And the same way with education. It's very expensive. And even so, there's just much, generally, there's just less opportunity right now.
You do expect, perhaps, from the conference that we might
be able to hold, if not advance, at least to hold the line, right? Till there's another, till we're in another period instead of outgoing. I think things go in cycles. There's a period when there seems to be an abundance or things move forward, and then all at once everything is going backward. On the political level, on the economic level, on almost any level, because even since the 60s, you know, in 64, the Republican Party was supposed to have been no more than in the 68. The Democrat Party was, you know, totally wiped out. And so I think on all levels, we recycle. And the idea is to hold, is to hold as much as you can till we're into a new cycle and then start making advances again.
So this could be the 10-year recommendations, could be maybe by the, preferably, I guess, before the end of the 10 years, we get another cycle.
Oh, yeah, I think so, yeah.
I think it will occur.
Oh, yeah, then. Right. And I think that that way, if we're prepared and can focus, I think the important thing is really to focus in, because like I said, the tactic that's most successful is just a kind of vague way, is to have kind of abstracts and not have anything too concrete, because then there's nothing to really push for.
What about the concrete issue, I believe the equal rights and then...
Yeah, that's something that can really be focused in on, and if then that may be really the best way to go, because that kind of cuts across all of the political and social differences of women.
What do you see, I don't want to ask you, do you think it will pass or won't pass, or will pass, but do you think...
Okay, go ahead.
The Equal Rights Amendment, then, if it passes by March of 79, will give us, you feel, a push-up.
A little edge, yeah.
And should it fail, it would, what do you think?
Well, I don't think it'd be disastrous. I think either it will come about again in a different form, or that having been united against the issues, that a new strategy will be developed. But I don't think that even the passage of the ERA, it'll be nice because, again, it's something that you can hold on to, but it's just like with affirmative action or the civil rights laws. In practice, it gives tokens a chance and some visibility, but it doesn't really change the life of the non-bright, non-talented, non-beautiful people. If you're bright, beautiful, and talented, it gives you a spotlight. But it's the start. I mean, I think social change is just very slow.
And you are a realist.
Yeah.
I believe.
Yes, I consider myself a realist.
Yes, yes, yes. I'd love to know, you're evidently educated well. You have a good background. Mm-hmm. You may have read widely, personally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just a college bachelor's.
What did you major in?
Psychology. I started off as a life science major and then switched over to education and ended up with psychology.
Now you're in community work and minority work and various organizations.
Right. All the fun growth things.
Oh, good. You are enjoying the convention, I hope?
Yeah.
I hope you continue.
Okay,
thank
you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, well, thank you.